Well, it is a great day to be here, Sabbath day. And I think, especially when we look at what Yahweh has done for us through His Son, who gave His life, who received stripes that we might be healed, that He gave and poured out His life for us. And it is just an awesome thing. And there are those that that may not prepare as well as they should. And we need to go over some of the things in the preparation for the Passover. I've entitled this Passover Preparations. Now, when we consider the word Passover, there are three things that come to mind. A protection, or the protection, the lamb, and also the service. Now, when we think of the protection, we think of what happened during the Exodus, that Yahweh protected His people, and He'll protect us. In fact, it's related that Yahweh brought them out on the wings of a great eagle, and it is foretold that His people will again be brought out of the symbolic Egypt on great wings of an eagle. So it's a little more intense, if you will, by having that one word great in there. We read of that in Revelation. And we find that the lamb, of course, is the penalty for sin is death. The only way that we can get rid of that death penalty is through shed blood. And with the ancient Israelites under the Levitical priesthood, we find that they did blood sacrifices. And today we look towards Messiah, who is our Passover lamb. He gave His life for us. And so we can look at Passover in these different ways. And the service, you know, and part of our preparation is knowing how we are to keep the Passover. And, you know, when is it we need to know these things? Well, when the early ears of barley are ready in Israel and the new moon predicted to come locally this 27th of March, 2009, we will be keeping Passover on the 14th of Abib. It is our April 10th, as at the end of the 9th. And then 7 days, starting on the 15th, the end of the 14th, we will be starting the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is truly a feast, a feast of 7 days. Now, when preparing for Passover, we have to consider these type of things, of what the ancient Israelites did and what we are to do today. We don't do everything that the ancient Israelites did. We don't do all these burnt offerings and these type of things. And we can take a look at why exactly that is. But I think we have a good idea even before looking at these, because we've already looked at many of these scriptures before. But in looking at this and reviewing, I realized there's some things I had forgotten. You know, we know, like with the Passover cup, we know that that's not wine, that's not fermented. I was reviewing and I realized that oinos isn't the only word in the Greek that's not used for Passover or is surrounding or used in connection with Passover, which is a word for wine. But neither is oxos, I think it is, which is a word for vinegar. And vinegar is nothing but a cheap wine. You can look in the resources, and it was even a wine for the soldiers back in Messiah's time. And that's evidently what they gave him and that he partook of or took before he died. And so, I mean, there's some things that we have to continue to look at to be reminded of these things so that we're able to give an answer. There was another thing that I hadn't remembered, and that was what the wine is really symbolic of. And there are those that take wine for Passover, and it's wrong. Of course, we find that it was not right for the priest to have it in service to consume. Neither will it be allowed in the coming kingdom to be consumed by the priests. And we're to be a kingdom of priests, we're told in Revelation. The other thing, though, was The other thing was that there is, I don't know if I can recall it. See, this is why we have to review. We have to go over these things again and again. What was it? Well, maybe I'll come to it in a moment. But we are to prepare and not take the Passover lightly or without forethought. And so we are to start thinking about these things. We have basically a month, month and a half before Passover is here. And it's especially important for us as baptized members to be prepared for this and to take of it properly and not to take it in an unworthy manner. Now, there were problems back at the time of Messiah, and the Apostle Paul dealt with problems. If you want to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, I remember what it was that I had not remembered. The symbolism of wine. We find the symbolism of wine is merriment. We find it is wrath in Scripture. We also find it is related to fornication, something that brings wrath. So we know that wine is not a good symbol for Yahshua, not for his blood. Rather, the unadulterated, unfermented, the pure fruit of the vine, which I think it's apollos, I forget the wording exactly in the Greek, but it's the present or the fresh squeezed grapes. In fact, when you first squeeze, or when you first look at a cup in the Bible, you'll find fresh squeezed grapes going into that cup. Just as an aside. But in 1 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul had to deal with problems in Corinth. The Corinthians had a number of issues, and these are baptized members. These are ones that are holding to the faith. But look at what Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh. And of course, we're warned to not live in the flesh. He says he had to deal with them as infants, babies, you know. Verse 2, he says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you're not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able to receive it. How must this have made them feel? Not very good, I don't think. Verse 3, he says, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife, you know, absolute wrong attitude among you. Are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? This is Paul's admonition to them. You know, wake up. Stop acting like children. Grow up. Be mature. 1 Corinthians 14. When you go through 1 Corinthians, you find a number of issues that the brethren had. They had issues with personal interrelationships. They had a problem with the relationship with their father. They had sins in those at that time. And Paul, you know, even had to put individuals out that were just corrupt. And the other members weren't doing anything about it. So Paul really had his work cut out for him. And there's a long letter here of problems that he was addressing. In 14 and verse 20, it says, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. So, you know, be infants to sin and evil. Don't even get near it. Avoid it. Be innocent. Chapter 15 and verse 34. Become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of Elohim. I speak this to your shame. Harsh words. But they had difficulties. They had error. They had, as we might say, leaven that had entered and was leavening the whole lump. And they had a number of difficulties, a number of problems. And they weren't even preparing properly for the Passover, but we need to. Let's go back over to Isaiah chapter 53. considering what Yahshua has done for us, what Yahweh has actually done, sending his son as a sacrifice for us. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But Yahweh has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. So we are not to go astray anymore. We are to draw close to him. We are to follow our shepherd. And our master shepherd is Yahshua. You know, as I was going through this, I ended up reading the whole chapter. And I would recommend that you do so as well, because there have even been those of Judah that have read this and considered what they're doing, basically, and they recognize, you know, this is talking about Yahshua the Messiah, the Jewish Savior, and we recognize him as well. So we invite Judah to come along and to understand what we understand, not following in the traditions of men, but accepting Yahshua, not rejecting him, but loving him and drawing close to him and his Father. This is what we're to do. And we need him in our life for the forgiveness of sins. Let's go over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And he himself bore our sins in his body. In fact, let's back up, because what's happening here is chapter 53 of Isaiah is being referenced. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. They're reaching out to Judah at this time, showing them, look, you know, he has come. This was the one that we were waiting for. You know, here we are 2,000 years later. Now we're looking at his second return, a return in which he will have a rod of iron with him. But in verse 22 it says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the stake, so that we might die to sin and to live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. And then it talks about, verse 25, continually straying like sheep. We read that. We are not to do that anymore. We are to be gathered together as a flock in worship at the times that we're told to come and worship. And we're to follow in the steps of Messiah, following our master, our shepherd, as sheep do theirs. Someone was saying here not too long ago that someone that's caring for sheep, those sheep will respond to that voice. So when we're told, you know, in Scripture, where Yahshua is saying the sheep hear my voice and they know it's me and they'll follow, that's reality even today with the sheep that are being tended to. They'll come to the voice that they are used to, that they know. They won't come to a voice that they don't know. So we know that Yahweh is calling out people, his people, his sheep, and they're hearing the message. They are drawing close to him. Now, knowing these things, we are told to examine ourselves. In 1 Corinthians, going back to this book of admonition, we find that that they were keeping Passover in a wrong way. They were coming together, and they were not doing it correctly. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. Basically, they were coming together and having a merriment, a feast, and that's not what the Passover is for. I mean, we refer to it as, I shouldn't say we refer to it as the Feast of Passover, but it is referred to as the Feast of Passover. We understand that it is actually not a feast, and we can get into that a little bit, look at the original wording. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had, let's see, Let's go down to verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Master's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Master. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks, eats, or he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and a number asleep. For if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Master so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. What they were doing was they weren't waiting. They were going about their Passover in their way, and it wasn't the right way. It is Yahweh's Passover, and it should be kept as he describes and how the Master had described. Because there is a change. But when we go back to... before we go there, in thinking about how we are to prepare, you know, we need to make sure that we're not like Judas and have a sin. I mean, he was taking money out of the purse that was held. He was doing things that he shouldn't have been. His mentality was, he was thinking that maybe Yahshua was going to take over the Roman rule there. I mean, this has been postulated, and I think it may be true. But he didn't want that. He wanted to do other things. We need to make sure that our life is being in line with the way Yahweh's life for us is, in the word that we have before us. You know, we are to do these things to make sure that we're in line and not be like a Judas. We're also to make sure that our attitude is right. If there's someone that has something against us, or that we have something against another, we should talk about it. Matthew 5 and verse 23. But some are unwilling to talk about it. We can't help situations like that. But here in Matthew 5 and verse 23, it says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that a brother has something against you, leave your offering, therefore, at the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. So there are certain things that we need to do. But, if you're living in sin and you expect to come to the Passover and everything is going to be hunky-dory, you've got another thing coming. It's not acceptable to Yahweh. We have to be considering how we take of this Passover and how we are to live our lives, not just the Passover, but throughout the year. The Corinthians had great difficulties, and they were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, and it even looked like they were jumping around and making noises like they were speaking in the tongues. And Paul, you looked at that and thought, they're just being confused. It was confusion at that time. And so he really had to make sure that they understood what they really should be doing. And he himself said, he'd rather speak a few words of sense than to speak babble. Basically is what he said. Now, when we look at the Passover, there are those that say that the Passover is a high day. We don't find this. It is not a festive time. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 34 says, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. And he talks about remaining matters that he'll arrange when he comes. But he's basically telling them, look, you're hungry? Go eat at home. But come to the service prepared. Prepared to do what's right in Yahweh's sight. It's a memorial service. It's a service and a remembrance of Yahshua's death, the death that we have accepted in our lives. Let's go over to Exodus 34. Let's take a look at the wording. When it comes to, you know, calling the Passover a feast, Exodus 34 and verse 25 says, "You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover to be left over until morning." Now, this is a New American Standard, and most translations will just give this as feast, this word. The word is shag, and it's Strong's 2282. Now, I was looking in different areas where this word is, and if you recall, Hebrew, Aramaic, you can take one word, and it can have a number of meanings. This can be confusing unless you look at things in context. When we look at the Passover in context, we're looking at a sacrifice. We're looking at a victim, in essence. And when we look here, we could basically insert the word victim here. It says the sacrifice of the victim of the Passover to be left over until morning. So we're given instruction here on this. Now, when we look at other areas where it says feast of Passover in these translations, we can look at that with the wording of sacrifice instead, or victim. It is not a feast. It's not a festive time. It's not for us today, gathering to where we have, you know, a four-course meal, for example. Let's go over to Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23, we find the appointed times, Moedim, the appointments that Yahweh has for us. And you'll find that a number of these are high Sabbaths. They are Sabbaths. Like for unleavened bread, you have a high Sabbath that starts out on the 15th. And at the end, you have another high Sabbath. But the days in between are not high Sabbaths. Yet it's an appointed time. It's what Yahweh tells us. He tells us to come before Him at that time. But specifically, there are high days at the end there. Now, Passover is on the 14th. And you'll notice here in verse 5 of chapter 25 in Leviticus, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is Yahweh's Passover. Now, the timing of this, we see a word here, twilight. That word, if you look it up in Strong's, is not accurate, actually. We find that the wording, though Strong's is good, the wording here is Ben Ha Arbiim. You could find that in an interlinear, for example. But it basically means that literal translation is the son of the evenings. James Moffat translates it as sunset to dark. I guess the question would be, why is Ben Ha Arbiim translated sunset to dark? I want to take you over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 6, which also talks about Passover. In verse 6 it says, "At the place where Yahweh your Elohim chooses to establish His name, you shall sacrifice the Passover in the evening at sunset at the time that you came out of Egypt." Now, looking at another version, King James Version, it says, "But at the place which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose to place His name in, there shall thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt." Okay, now looking at some of the particular words, season, what season? It would have been the springtime. That's when the early ears of barley show, and that is the spring. In fact, there is a native group down in Africa, and they were asked, When does the year begin for you? And they said, look around. When does it begin? It begins with new growth. Interesting. I thought that was very interesting. So, you know, for our simple minds, I think it's understood when the beginning of the year is. But we have the wording of Abib and these type of things to identify it. But the wording of Bin Ha Arbi'im, the sun of the evenings or the sunset to dark, it can be understood by looking at some of these other words. In verse 6, there's a word there at even. At even is the word 6153 out of the Strong's, which is a Reb, and it basically means evening. Before the sun sets, the dusk, the twilight, you know, when you can see a sunset, that's when a Reb is. The word for that is a Reb. But there's another word here, it talks about it going down, about this, the sun going down. Well, that word down is bo. Now, where a Reb can basically means just evening. I mean, it's translated as evening in most places, twilight, I think, in one or two places. But bo is actually translated in a couple different ways. Like for Noah going into the ark, the word bo is used for the word entering. So when Noah goes into the ark, you can't see him anymore. He's basically gone in. That word, the Hebrew word for that is bo. And when the sun is going down, when it goes down, that's also bo. That's basically saying it's sunset. The sun has gone down past the horizon. Now, this verse with these two words is significant in understanding the Bin Ha Arbi'im, because the verse is telling us when the Passover is to take place. And that's why we wait until evening, or more specifically, at sunset, before we actually partake of the emblems. The timing of the Passover service is clearly defined, and we can find it in seeing these other words and the description of when the Passover is to take place. Now, we don't cut the neck of a Passover lamb, and we don't shed its blood. We're not going back to that, because these sacrifices, those type of sacrifices are no longer for us. When we're in Messiah, we no longer have to do those. Now, we do types of sacrifices. I think one of the songs, the first one today, was we give a sacrifice, or we bring a sacrifice. A sacrifice of what? Sacrifice of praise. Now, the work has to continue. We give offerings. We sacrifice. We follow the instructions of the tithing and doing these type of things. We don't eat pork. We're still physical people. So, there's still physical things that we do, but we do look at the spiritual intent of these things. We do what we can, basically. But to go back and slaughter a lamb, it's like going back and being circumcised. We'll take a look at that as well. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 11. Back over to 1 Corinthians. The book of instructions. The book of instructions for those that really need it. And certainly all of Yahweh's word is inspired and is meant to be for instruction for us. But in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 24, we read how Yahshua implemented, and Paul emphasizes what was implemented by Yahshua at this Passover. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, being the unleavened bread, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after Passover, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we find a number of things here. Yahshua was at a Passover meal. It would be, I think, similar to what you'd find in a Seder meal today. We don't do traditions like that today. We don't have a shank bone. We don't boil eggs and have those involved. We certainly don't have four glasses of wine available at the table. It's just not scriptural. And, you know, I don't mean to be harsh, but these type of things we don't find, we're not to do these things today under the second covenant. We find Paul emphasized the emblems. We find Joshua presented these things to do. But we are not to be sacrificing a lamb today. We're not to be getting physically circumcised. There are some things that are different. Now, speaking of different, let's go over to Hebrews. Let's make sure we understand this clearly. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12. Talking about the new Melchizedek order rather than the Levitical order and way of doing things. Hebrews 7 and verse 12. For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. Now, Yahshua is not only our Passover lamb, but he is also our high priest. He is our high priest in heaven. And we go through him. We don't go through a high priest on earth. We don't go through the Levitical priesthood. We don't do these physical sacrifices like that. We don't shed innocent blood. Yahshua's blood was shed for us. And in a sense, we had a part in that because we are all sinners. We have been sinners. And now we are to come out of that and walk in newness of life without sin. In the book of Galatians, if you look at it overall, is a book warning the people. Because there were those that were saying you have to be physically circumcised. The apostles dealt with this in the book of Acts chapter 15. The whole book of Galatians is really focused on this idea that you do not have to be physically circumcised. That our Master Yahshua, the Messiah, is our sacrifice, and he is the one that is to be accepted. The circumcision that was given and done actually produced blood. When the circumcision occurred, it produced blood. And it was a token. It is actually described that way. But in Galatians 3, verse 7, we find that Paul goes into some depth in speaking about the law, but he also talks about a law that was added. Galatians 3 and verse 7. Actually, that's not the one I was looking. Maybe it's 2, 7. Okay, here it is. Galatians 3:19, actually. Let's go up to 18. For if the inheritance is based on law, no longer based on a promise, but Elohim has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. What law? It's talking about the law of sacrifice, or the law of sacrifices. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of mediator until a seed would come to whom the promises had been made. And, you know, it was like a schoolmaster to us at that time. I mean, not to us here today, because we didn't ever have to deal with that. But it was to keep people in check. You had to understand at that time that if you sinned, you caused death. It was a principle. You sin, you die. That type of principle was drilled into the people at that time. There had to be shed blood for transgressions. Now, when we look at Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews 9 and verse 22. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So this principle was known, whoever the author of Hebrews is, we think it may be Paul, but he understood that there had to be a shedding of blood for forgiveness of sins. And that was indeed the law that was added. We don't see it as being anything else than that. And when Paul's describing to those that are the Galatians, he's basically telling them, look, you can't stay under this first agreement, which is basically what the first covenant is. It's an agreement. And the agreement was, you know, that you take this token, you get under this blood covenant, and you have these sacrifices that you have to do. But there are certain things that are transferred over into the New Testament. When we look at the New Testament further, besides the emblems of unleavened bread and also the Passover cup, we find that foot washing was implemented. Let's go over to John chapter 13. I mentioned earlier to Elder John, we were talking about the subject matter today. And Passover is probably one of the more complex studies because there's so much. The timing, the way to keep it, the way it was kept, the way it is to be kept today. So many things are involved with this. And it makes it hard for someone to just kind of go through and look at it and then go, oh, okay, I understand. And then someone comes and says something and they're like, what? Wait a minute, I remember seeing that. So it's really a labor-intensive study to get into the subject of the Passover. And, of course, we have some studies on this, many studies and booklets, but it's important that we understand these things and take a look at what is to be done, what was done, what, of course, we're to do today. Those in Yahshua do not have to have blood sacrifices anymore. And I think that's pretty clear. But some will think, well, I can go ahead and sacrifice a Passover lamb. You know, that's going back to... That's like going back to circumcision. If you take on that, then Messiah is really of no use to you. And when you start going into sacrificing a Passover lamb, you're getting into the same thing. You're making Yahshua's sacrifice of none effect for you, is basically the gist of it. So it's a very serious thing. It's nothing we're to take lightly. But it does take some study and some understanding from Yahweh's spirit to understand these things. John 13 and verse 14. If I then, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And so we do this. The men separate from the women, and a man to a man will wash. They'll wash each other's feet. Woman wash another woman's feet. And so we do it in a very orderly manner. It's not something where we come together and we're just, you know, we'll turn on the music and start dancing or, you know, these type of things, have a good old merry time of it. It is really like coming to a memorial. So, you know, if someone dies, you go to the memorial service. You're not there to have, you know, a gay old time of it, a happy time. And it, you know, it's just important to understand that. And you know, there's blessings for doing these things in the New Testament. John 13 and verse 17 says, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So it's not just a matter of knowing them; it's a matter of doing them and being blessed for these. And we learn by doing some of these things that we're to have a servant's attitude. We gain a sense of renewal when we focus and consider what Yahshua did for us. He basically gave his life for us that we might have life. So when we think of Passover, we think, of course, the protection, the lamb, the service. Well, we know that Yahweh gave to his people, he gave protection to his people. He will give protection to his people in the future. The lamb whose life was given that we might have life and be forgiven of our past sins. We have the service in which we learn to be servants ourselves by doing all that we're told to do and remembering that what Yahshua did for us, that we might also die to sin and not let it have a foothold in our lives. Now, when we consider these things, we can prepare for Passover. The Passover is a memorial service in remembrance of Yahshua's death. We are also reminded of the Exodus and the death angel that passed over the sons of Israel and all who accepted the blood of the Lamb at that time. Today, our Passover Lamb is Yahshua, the Messiah. Let's make sure we prepare for this most solemn occasion, which starts on the 14th of Abib at the proper time of Ben HaAvim. May Yahweh bless you.